I remember some time ago having the privilege of preaching in another congregation in a large metropolitan area, and it was a fairly large congregation. And one of the elders of the congregation, who was a wonderful man and is a wonderful man, was sitting, I think, in the first or second pew right under the pulpit. And I couldn't help but notice that when it came time in the service for the scripture reading, that he dutifully opened his Bible and followed along as the scripture was being read. And that was a good thing. But then I couldn't also help but notice that when the scripture reading was over, he closed his Bible and laid it in the pew next to him, and it was never again opened during that hour. I think that illustrates to us one of our real problems. And maybe it shouldn't be stated as a problem, but I think really it is. And the problem is that too often, even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we do not take the Word of God as seriously as we ought to. And to underline this theme, I'd like us to look this morning at Genesis chapter 2 and a part of chapter 1 once again, to see the part that the Word of God played early on in the creation order. The last time I had the privilege of being with you in this capacity, we looked at Genesis chapter 1 and we looked at man created in God's image. And we saw that God did create man in His image and according to His likeness, and that man was created in a particular way. We looked at a couple of New Testament scriptures, and we found that the image of God in man involves at least three things. We found that it involves the fact that man was created with true knowledge. We found that man was created with righteousness. And we found that man was created with holiness. In other words, when Adam and Eve were created in this world, they were perfect. They were without any flaws. And we saw that it wasn't possible for them to lay the excuse before God when they sinned. Oh, I'm only human. And that was the emphasis we laid at that point. This morning, as we look at Adam and understand that he was created perfect, without any flaw in his character, we need to see that at the same time, he had an absolute dependence upon the Word of God, even when he was perfect. Let's look at it a little bit. First of all, we look at the end of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now there you have it. Here was Adam set in a perfect world that God called good, being an individual whom God said was very good, and immediately God comes to Adam and he speaks to Adam. Now let's get that. And what does God say to Adam? Well, of course, God gives Adam a command right away, doesn't he? It was God's desire that Adam and Eve should execute in this world the office of a king. Look at it again. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule. Rule. Be rulers in the earth. Have dominion over the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth. Be rulers in this world. In other words, God said to Adam and Eve, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be king and queen in this world which I have created for me. You're my king and queen, and I want you to rule the world. And I want you to build a society in this earth that will glorify me and will honor me. And of course, as a king, receiving these directions from God, Adam received the Word of God, didn't he? The Word of God. And then secondly, God said to Adam in verses 29 and 30, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be for food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. Again, God comes to Adam, and He speaks to Adam. And He gives to Adam and Eve an interpretation of creation. Do you suppose that Adam knew what those trees were for? What that grain was for? Well, God comes to Adam and tells him, "Look, that's food. It's food for you, and it's food for the other creatures that I've set in this world." And Adam, you see, is given by God an interpretation of creation. What's it all about? And not only so, because God gave Adam an interpretation of creation, Adam was placed in the position of saying to those who followed him, "This is what the creation is all about. That's what those trees are for. That's what this grain is for. It's for food." And Adam was to interpret the creation for those who would follow after him. At first, Adam was given the position of a king in the world. And now God comes to Adam and says, in essence, "You are to be a prophet in this world. You are to tell others what this world is all about." I think that's a tremendous thing. And the important thing to grasp as we look at it again is the fact that God came to Adam and spoke to him. There was verbal communication, communication in the form of words. Now, of course, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that because Adam was created with true knowledge, a true knowledge of God and a true knowledge of himself, when God spoke, Adam recognized the Word of God. He didn't reject that Word. At least at this stage, he didn't. And when God set forth His duty, Adam accepted it. And when God interpreted the creation, Adam acknowledged that interpretation. Do you know what this tells us? Adam understood his need for the Word of God. Adam knew that he couldn't properly function in the world without hearing God's Word. He knew he needed to know what God wanted him to do in the world. He needed direction. And he knew that he needed to know what this world was all about. He needed an interpretation of the world. Adam knew that, you see. Adam recognized his need. Even though he was created perfect. And to me, that's the astounding thing. And we might ask, well, if Adam was created perfect and Adam had true knowledge, why did he need to hear from God in this fashion? Why did God have to speak to him? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly that although Adam had true knowledge, Adam didn't know everything. Adam didn't have complete knowledge, you see. And there's a big difference between having a proper understanding of the creation and of ourselves and of God and having complete knowledge of the creation. Only God knows everything. You see. Only God knows everything. And as individuals like Adam, we need to hear from God, just as Adam needed to hear from God. He didn't have complete knowledge. Well, let's carry it a step further. In Genesis chapter 2, we find something else. We find that God gives Adam another command. Look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." Here are tremendous words, too. Words from God. And the amazing thing about these words is the fact that they talk about the future. Adam probably had the same kind of nagging question that you have and that I have. What's the future hold? What's going to happen down the road? What's going to take place in this world? And here God, in a sense, opens the veil into the future. We might call these words of God in Genesis chapter 2 the law of the garden. God gave a command to Adam. "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die." Adam already knew that the tree of life existed, and he knew that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil existed. In verse 9 we read, "And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden." Adam knew that it was there. But now God comes to Adam and speaks to Adam and gives Adam his word. And he says to Adam, "Before you is the path of life and the path of death. And if you obey me, there will be life. And if you disobey me, there will be death." And that's what Adam received from God with regards to the future. And I think it's tremendous because today, that's really all we need to know about the future too. Oh, we'd like to get a lot more specific. But in the end, that's really all we need to know about the future. The fact that if we obey God through Jesus Christ, there will be life. But if we disobey God, there will be death. And that's what God lays before us as far as the future is concerned. But now something else very interesting takes place here. As God lays before Adam the way of life and the way of death, Adam again finds himself responsible before God. Adam must not only himself follow the way of life, but he must also tell those who come after him, his children. He has the responsibility of speaking to his children about the way of life and the way of death. And he has the responsibility of leading his children into the way of life, leading them to follow God. That's the responsibility that comes. Of course, we know the tragic story that Adam doesn't hold up his end of the bargain, does he? He's not responsible to God as he should be. But at this point, as God speaks to Adam, he has that responsibility. And there's a sense in which Adam now becomes a priest in this world, because he is to show others the way of life. And you see, the work of Adam clearly set forth. He's to be a king, to rule the earth for God. He's to be a prophet, and to explain to others what the creation is all about, to the glory of God. And he's to be a priest. He's to lead others in the way of life. God speaks to Adam and tells him these things. He comes to Adam and lays out his word. Adam knows his need in this regard. He knows that he can't get along without God's word. even though he's set in a perfect world, and he himself is perfect. Well, what does all this have to do with us? Well, it should be becoming clear anyway. For those of us who name the name of Christ, what God is saying to us through these scriptures is greatly important. And maybe I better pause here and say that the principles we're talking about, the need for the Word of God, involve Christians. We're talking about Christians here. Those who name the name of Christ. And if there are any of us here who do not sincerely trust in Jesus Christ, if you haven't repented of sin, if you haven't cast yourself on Jesus Christ, considering Him the only one who has adequately paid the penalty for your sins, if you haven't done that, it's time for you to do that right now. And to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Because you see, what we're talking about here has to do with Christians. You see, as Christians, something has taken place in us. A principle of new life has been placed in us, so that we're in the process of being changed, so that we're in the process of being renewed. Yes, so that we're in the process of being restored to an original condition. That's why Paul says, put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that's why Paul says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You see, the objective of the Christian life is to fulfill in our lives as individuals, in outward form, what God wants for us. He's put a new principle of life within us. He's given us new hearts. And we are to fulfill that new life. We are to live according to His Word. And there's the key, isn't it? We have to have the Word of God. It's not enough just to be restored on the inside. God has to speak to us and tell us how we ought to be living our lives, how we ought to understand the creation around us, and what our duties and obligations are concerning leading others in the path of life. Because those around us are either on the path of life or the path to death. We too need the Word of God. And I think the point comes home even more strongly when we contemplate the fact that there is not one of us here, myself included, who's perfect. Isn't that right? I'm not. Just ask my family, they'll tell you. I'm not. And if Adam needed the Word of God when he was in a state of perfection, how much more do we need the Word of God? You see, Christians face a lot of difficulties in this life. And probably for two reasons. For the most part, even among Christians, and when I point the finger, I obviously have two or three fingers pointed to myself. When we point the finger, it comes down on the place of saying there is a deplorable lack of knowledge of the Bible, even among Christians. What has God given to us? His Word. His Word. It's there. And a tremendous gift has come to us. But not only is there a lack of knowledge of the Bible, but there is also a failure to apply it when it's known. And I think because of this, many men and women and young people are disabled in their Christian lives. Again, Adam's duty was spelled out to him by the Word of God. What about you? What about me? Do you need special vibrations or impulses to tell you that you have a duty to love your husband or to love your wife? No, it's very clear in the Bible, isn't it? It's there in black and white. God's given that to us. Don't we know our responsibilities to visit the sick? To visit those in jail? Yes. They're there. Very plain. In the Bible. And there's no getting around that. You see, if we as individuals are going to properly execute the office of kings in this world, in other words, if we're going to follow Adam and subdue the earth and rule over it as God wants us to do, then we're going to have to apply the pages of Scripture diligently and understand our duty before God. It's in the Bible. And what about interpreting creation? Where do you go to find out a proper interpretation of nature? Well, there are a lot of zoology books. There are a lot of geology books. And we could go down the list, couldn't we? But first and foremost, we need to go to the Bible for a proper understanding of nature. God gave Adam His Word, and He gives us His Word. Where do we go for a proper understanding of history? Oh, there are a lot of history books read and written to be read. But we ought to go to the Bible first and foremost for a proper interpretation of history. You see, if we are going to act in the office of a prophet and properly understand the creation around us and interpret it to others, to our children, we're going to have to know and understand the Bible. And what about the way of life and the way of death that is set forth before us? Yes, again, it's there. And if we are going to properly understand that way of life and way of death, we're going to have to understand the Bible and apply it to our lives and to the lives of our children and our families. We're going to have to speak the truth in love from the Bible to others around us. We're going to have to lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the work of a priest. That's the kind of work Adam was given in the garden, and that's what we need to do as individuals too. You see, we need the Word of God. And if I could emphasize it any better, I would. Will you take the Word of God as God has given it to you and study it and apply it? Will you do that? If you do, there is no question about it. Your life and the life of the church will be a lot better. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and care of us. Thank you that you do come to us and speak to us. Thank you that we have your word. Forgive us that we are not as faithful in following and applying what is written as we should be. Forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that our hearts might really be open to what is written in the Scriptures. That we might be different people following you with all of our hearts and souls and minds and strength. Give us a vision, Father, of what it would mean, really,
to be committed to your word and to energize us that your church might go forth as a mighty army. Blessed to this end, we do ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men. Amen.